All right, we are going to start in Isaiah. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. Who wrote the book of Isaiah? Isaiah. That's right. That's an easy one. So we're going to start the book of Isaiah. But before we start it, well, we're going to start in the first verse. In the first verse, it might take us a while. Because I really want to use this time to really see where Isaiah fits into the big picture, what kind of things were going on to lead into Isaiah. So let's read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll see where we go from here. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." Now, if you guys all know everything that Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah did, then we can skip that part. You guys know all about those guys? So, some of these guys, I mean, what did Uzziah do? A lot of these names we don't know. So that's what I went back. I'm like, okay, this is the time that Isaiah was on earth. This is the time that this book covers. And so a lot of what goes on here, we need to know what's going on in Israel. And all these kings, we can go back to the book of what? Yeah, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, especially 2nd Chronicles, and see all these things that were going on. So we don't have to just guess, say, well, I wonder what the conditions were in Uzziah's time. We know because it says. So I went back and started looking at Uzziah. And so when I looked at Uzziah, it talks about, well, he did so-and-so like his father did. So you have to go to his father. And it goes, well, he did so-and-so like his father. And you see all these, I mean, because some of them came to power and they immediately killed all these people over here because of what they did to their father. So you really don't know the story till you go back another generation. Then I got to, I don't know, two generations back from that, and there's this woman called Athaliah. Ever heard of her? She good or bad? Bad. I never really heard of Athaliah. I've read it, but it must have skipped over. Athaliah, she actually ruled Judah for 6 years. She was the queen in charge. I mean, there was no king. She was the queen. She was in charge. She killed all her grandkids to make sure she stayed in charge. And then it was Uzziah's grandpa who was hid away until he was 6 years old or 7 years old, then he was brought out. And so, I mean, there's amazing stories that go into this. And so I started going back, and if I'm going to go to Athaliah, it's only a few more generations and you're at Solomon. And so it'd be pretty good. I think it's interesting to just go through and look at these kings in the history of this to leading up to Isaiah. So it's going to take a few weeks. I want to look at, you know, a specific king and look at what we can learn from his life. But put this all together so we come to Isaiah and we see Uzziah. We know exactly, you know, what that family line's been through. We see Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah. So I think it's a good opportunity for us to look at these history of the kings of Israel and Judah. So this is what I plan on doing. And so I wanted to start, we know a lot about Saul, we know about David. Solomon, we know he wrote what books of the Bible? Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. Did he write any Psalms? And the Bible says he wrote 1,000 of them, right? Are some of them in the Bible? So there's a few, they're not 1,000 of them, but there's... So he wrote some Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. They're all in a row. So he wrote those. What do we know about Solomon? He's the wisest man at that time, ever. Solomon was the wisest man ever. What else was he? Richest man ever. He built what, Dave? He built the temple. Why didn't David build it? Because David had the plan, he had the idea, he knew what needed to be built, but God didn't want David to build it. So Solomon built that temple. All right, let's start there. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 9. So tonight we're going to look at Solomon. 1 Kings, we know a lot about him. But Solomon then led us down this track that wasn't good. Solomon, the wisest man, I mean, he should have been great. But he led Israel, the whole nation of Israel, down this track that split off, and it really began with Solomon. So 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord, like Dave said, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house, that temple, which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. So God said he would keep the lineage of Solomon on the throne as long as what? As long as he kept the commandments. So it was conditional promise. It was a condition that God said, I will do this if you follow me. And he just said, we'll keep my statutes and my judgments according to all that I have commanded thee. I mean, there was all he was supposed to follow. Not most, he said all. Verse 6, but if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, so this goes on through generations, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house, which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house, which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss. And they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land, unto this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. So God said, if you go serving other gods, then I'm going to wipe Israel off the map. You know, I'm going to take this temple down and it's going to look terrible. People are going to come by and say, how did this happen? And it's because Israel went after other gods. So that's the main thing, worshiping other gods. And Solomon, I mean, he's the wisest man ever. God told us it's very plain what he was supposed to do. But Solomon didn't do that. Let's go to Deuteronomy 17 real quick. Deuteronomy 17. Because God told Solomon to keep all that he has commanded. Do you believe Solomon had Genesis through Deuteronomy? Did he have those books of Moses? Yes. And so he knew all that God commanded. So Deuteronomy 17, 14 through 17. God never wanted Israel to have a king. He wanted them to have judges, but not a king, because if you had a king, he's going to take your stuff, and we're going to see what will happen here in verse 14. Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. So God knew it would happen. That's a prophecy that was fulfilled. So when you come in and start saying you want a king, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee. He said, you're going to do it, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. So when it came time to choose a king, God showed Samuel to choose who? Saul. So God chose him. Verse 16, but he shall not multiply horses. This is a commandment to the king. So God says, I don't want you to have kings, but you're going to have kings. And when you have a king, this is a commandment to the king. Thou shalt not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Those are commandments specifically to who? Kings. Solomon was a king. What did Solomon do to break those commandments? Which ones did he break? Wives, money, silver and gold, horses. I mean, he had thousands upon thousands of horses. I mean, this is what God said would happen. This is what God said should not happen. Solomon knew that he's wise, but yet he broke these things. Let's go to 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11. Didn't he say don't go back down to Egypt? 1 Kings 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. So he had the daughter of Pharaoh, which he went down to Egypt there. He's out the women. I mean, all this stuff that God said, every one of them he broke. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Here's the other ones. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely, this is why they shouldn't have these wives, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. So he loved many strange women, and God said, if you do that, you love these foreign women, and it's not because they're foreign, it's because they were not believers. They worshipped other gods. He said, those women will turn your heart, right? But he clave to them in love. Verse 3, and he had 700 wives who were princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. God said it would happen, and did it happen? Yes. So he had 1,000 women. We think that's crazy. But Wilt Chamberlain or something, that's more than that. So, yeah. 1 Kings 11, verse 3. So it did happen. They turned away his heart. Let's go to chapter 4, or verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, because he started out good. A lot of these men in the Bible start out good, but when he was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. This is Solomon, David's son, after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. He knew the truth. He was still kind of going after God, but not fully. He had these other gods on the side. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. So he built high places. He built idols. He built worship places for them to come, for these other gods. And likewise did he for all his strange wives. I mean, everybody had their own gods, all this stuff, and he built places for all his wives to please them. In the land of Israel, he had these kind of things. Likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their God. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake. So it wasn't going to be in your lifetime, Solomon, because of David, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son David for my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So a prophecy, God told Solomon what was going to happen. So the kingdom was going to be divided because of Solomon's sin. What was Solomon's sin? Yeah, I mean, setting up other gods, not being separate. God told the Jews to stay separate, not to take wives from other places. They were to be a separate people, a peculiar people. Solomon got all these other wives. He wasn't separate from the world. He partaked in, he compromised in their sin. He knew it was sin, but he compromised with it. I want to go back to verse 5. This was not what I planned to look at tonight, but it said, for Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians. All right, Ashtaroth. Do we know anything about her? She's the wife of Baal. We hear Baal a lot, right? And Baal refers to a lot of gods, but usually a sun god or the storm god of the Phoenicians. I mean, all of them worship Baal. And Baal, we also, the Babylonians called it Bel. And you've heard of the Catholic Bible has in it Bel and the Dragon, an extra chapter that's on Daniel. But it's about Baal or Bel. Okay, in Numbers 2:13, you see these together. It says, "And they forsook the Lord, and they served Baal and Ashtaroth." Okay, so they always go together, Baal and Ashtaroth. Now, Baal is the one that Elijah went up and said, "Hey, you know, have Baal burn this down," and God did. I mean, it was a showdown at this time between Baal and God when it was Elijah, when Elijah was around. But Ashtaroth is associated with Baal, the wife of Baal in their mythology type thing. And really, the name was Ashtar. The Jews and God in the Bible added the Oth or the Eth to it, which means it's an abomination. So it's Ashtar the abomination is what that means, Ashtaroth. So Ashtar, Ashtaroth. The same name you'll see, Astarte. Ashtar, Ishtar, Ostre, Ishtre. Okay, all these are the same goddess. And if you start looking into these things, you see how the way that Satan works is the same goddess figure comes in different things, has the same story related with her, the same everything, just a little bit different name, but they're all, you can see Ashtaroth, Ashtar, Ishtar, Ishtre. It's where we get our word Easter from Ishtar. Okay, the way they would pronounce Easter, Ishtar was pronounced Easter. We get the name Easter from this lady right here. Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians. And we're getting ready to celebrate Easter this Sunday. Okay, this was the goddess of fertility, Ishtar, Ashtaroth. Okay, this goddess Ashtaroth that we're looking at here. Okay, she was said to be dropped down from the heavens in a big egg into the Euphrates River. So there's an Ishtar egg. Okay, that's where it comes from. Now, we look at the things, Easter, I don't know if you've looked into the origins of Easter. And it comes from, I mean, this is just the facts. And we're all going to have to deal with the facts. It comes from these pagan goddesses, Ishtar, Ostre. It's like spelled E-O-S-T-R-E. You heard of like estrogen. It's the same word that estrogen comes from, fertility. Estrus. If you're hunting deer, like when the deer are in heat, you put out estrus, which is the smell. It's fertility. That's where this word Easter comes from. It's all about fertility. And that's why you see eggs, fertility. That's why you see rabbits, breeding like rabbits, you know. You see Easter bunnies. It's fertility. So all of this comes together. The Wiccans, and I looked at some of this today, they still have this chant that they go through. And you can listen to this. It's Isis, Astarte, Diana. Or Diana. We heard of Diana in the Bible. All these are the same goddess. And the Wiccans, the witches, those pagans that still worship Mother Nature, who basically this is Mother Nature, they have all these names for these goddesses. And they're all the same goddess. Ishtar, Astarte, Ashtaroth, which is one of these gods that Solomon took. Ashtaroth means womb. A picture of this woman, this Ashtaroth that we're looking at in verse 5. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians. Okay, most all pictures of her are, and these idols they had were nude. A lot of times she had a lily in one hand and then a serpent in the other. The lily, I mean, you hear Easter lilies all the time, but that was for beauty. The serpent was because of its, I forget what the serpent was right now. But she had a serpent in her hand. So all these things we see from Easter, you know, the lilies, the eggs, the rabbits, the name, Easter, all come from what we're reading right here, Ashtaroth. Asheroth poles. You see that in the Bible. That's where we get this maypole thing where people would go around. I mean, this stuff was the renewal of spring when everything came back to life. The sun supposedly impregnated the earth and all this stuff came to life again. I mean, all these pagan origins, and they come into things we call Easter nowadays. Now, how do we get Easter then? What's the deal? Okay, Easter is, we celebrate. Anybody know how you find out when Easter, the date is? The first Sunday after the first full moon. That's right. So the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the spring equinox. Unless that coincides with the Jewish Passover, then you move it back a week. So, I mean, that was decided in the Council of Nicaea, which in 325 AD, Emperor Constantine, he was kind of the beginning of the Catholic Church. And Catholic just means universal. He was the beginning of the universal church. He was the Emperor of Rome. He felt that God gave him a victory because he saw a cross in the sky, that he had a victory over somebody. So he said, Christianity is going to be the Roman religion, the Catholic worldwide religion. And so they had this council at Nicaea where they came together, and it was under Constantine's leadership that he brought all these people, and they made decrees on what would be for the church. And that's when they decided that it would be the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the spring equinox, unless it coincided with the Jewish Passover, because they didn't want to have anything in common with these Jews, is what the reasoning was. And we still go on that today. In 2001, Easter was supposed to be April 8th. Instead, it was moved to April 15th. All because of what these guys did in 325 that was by Emperor Constantine. So, Easter, like we see a lot of these things, was a pagan holiday. It was goddess and Mother Earth worship. And instead of coming in and just ignoring that stuff, instead the church came and compromised with that and said, yes, we'll keep some of these things and we'll put some Jesus in there. Exactly what Solomon did. Solomon, he served God, but not fully. And that's what with Easter, with Ishtar. That's what has happened with these holidays, because now we have Easter, which the name itself is a pagan goddess. We have Easter eggs, we have Easter bunnies, we have Easter lilies. All these things are remnants of paganism. And we look at Solomon and say, how can that guy know? Well, he has all this information, all this knowledge, yet he deals with this stuff and messes with it. But then, what about us? We have the information. We know these things. We know where they come from. That's what we just need to make. Look at this. I want to give you information tonight on this, because I wasn't even thinking about this, and then I looked at Ashtaroth, and I knew that was Ishtar, and it's coming up on Easter time. That's why a lot of times on Sunday mornings, you know, I'll say Resurrection Day rather than Easter. In the Bible, we don't see, celebrating Christmas, celebrating these things, I think we can, but I think we want to be separate. The sin of Solomon was not separating from the world, bringing in their stuff, kind of mixing it all together and making one thing. And that is what we read in Revelation 17. The harlot church, the woman that rides the beast, is this one world religion bringing in all things from all places. And Satan has it worked out good, where all this stuff fits together pretty seamlessly, except for one thing. If you come in and say that, no, Jesus Christ is the only way and all this other stuff's wrong, that doesn't fit in very well. But everything else fits in. And so we have a choice, and it's going to get more and more that way. And that's what basically you hear about the New Age movement. That's kind of what it is. Everything fitting in together into one religion. But that was the sin of Solomon, fitting all these things together. He had all these wives. He still knew God, but he put all these other things on top of it. We still know God, but we got to make a decision. What are we going to do? Solomon was warned. We're warned in the Bible over and over. Let's go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13, verse 23. So this is when they came back. Already Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was in shambles. Nebuchadnezzar did all that. They took Daniel and all those boys to Babylon. They stayed there for 70 years, captivity. They were able to come back now. So they're coming back to Jerusalem. And Nehemiah is leading them and saying, all right, this is what we need to do. And then the last chapter of Nehemiah, verse 23, in those days also saw I, that's Nehemiah, Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. Exactly what Solomon did. And I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourself. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. God blessed Solomon with the wealth, with the wisdom, but even Solomon, these outlandish women, these women that were out from outside their land, caused him to sin. So we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And the Bible specifically says we shouldn't have, I don't believe, contentions and these things over respect to certain holy days and new moons and these. So this isn't something that we have to be, I think, dogmatic about, but I think it's something we need to look at because it's a principle in the Old Testament from throughout the whole Bible that we want to be separate. We don't want to come and mix things in with Christianity. We don't take just Christianity and try to bring other stuff. That's polluting it. So we all need to make decisions for ourselves on where we're at. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Was Solomon unequally yoked? Yes, we saw what happened. It doesn't have to be marriage, but it's definitely marriage. So those of you that are not married, the first thing in a spouse has to be that you are equally yoked, that he is a believer, that she is a believer, and that you're equally yoked. Not just somebody that says, yeah, I'm a believer, but you know, you're equally yoked. We don't date somebody to missionary date, they call it. You know, I'm going to date him and I can change him and turn him around. No, we want to be equally yoked. And we saw what happened with Solomon. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That would be in business practice. Anything where we're tied together, we don't want to be unequally yoked. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? There's Baal again. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This isn't new in God's character. It's what he's been from the beginning. God's always said, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out, touch not the unclean thing. I just challenge you to examine these things. Pray on these things. Think on these things. Read on these things. Because we know we need to be separate from the world. We know we are in the world. We're not of the world. So we need to make these decisions with the Holy Spirit's guidance. But I know myself, because I thought, do I want to preach and talk about Easter? I mean, that's, people like their Easter eggs. People like their hunts. I mean, we were there. But I do. I thought, and Ashley actually said, well, if you were out there, I want to know the truth. I want to have it all here. And then you can take it, examine it, decide for yourself. Be Bereans. But we need to make sure. Solomon's sin was he was not separate. Solomon's sin, he compromised with the world. Solomon's sin was he allowed other things to come in with God. It wasn't pure. Pure religion and undefiled before the Father is this: to care for the widows, the fatherless, and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We want to stay unspotted. We don't want to have, well, I'm just going to allow this in. We want to stay unspotted. That was the sin of Solomon. He was not unspotted. And we see where it led Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that it's clear. I thank you that it's a mirror that we can look at ourselves and we can see what changes we need to make. Lord, help us to be doers and not just hearers only. Help each one of us to wrestle these things, to look in your word for these things, and to follow where you lead according to your word, Lord. And so, Lord, I ask that these things don't divide us. We're not dogmatic about these, but the information's there, and that we have, we don't put people down. We don't look at people wrong for any holy days, their respect to holy days or Sabbaths or new moons and these things. But Lord, I do ask that each one of us can come before you and say, Lord, I'm doing what I believe keeps me unspotted from the world. So Lord, please help each one of us. Help us to be a good testimony for you, not for our glory, but for yours throughout the rest of this week. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.